Blog Talk Radio.
Relationships. My name is Evinda Leppins, actually Kim Evinda Leppins. I'm very, very happy to be here with you today to talk about just the thing that seems to be a thorn in our side, and yet it's also a sense of, maybe the euphoria or whatever. But relationships are a gift, and they can be a curse at the same time. Mm-hmm. But with me is Steve, which I am incredibly thankful for, because without him, we would not even be where we are. How was your weekend?
Well, I was just telling Evinda, we went went to Mexico.
You did,
and built
right?
Two homes. And as we were driving down there, people that were new, there was a husband and wife, two children, and then another woman and her child in that car. And it's called a flex, and the profile is so low, and it was torrential rains.
Oh, it was going down there
Friday? Going down. Oh. Oh, my gosh. You couldn't see 10 feet in front of your car. Your windshield wipers didn't move fast enough. Yes. And so we slowed way down. Otherwise, the trip was really uneventful, except at the home we built, which is all around dirt. Everything's dirt. Dirt roads, dirt
was
yard.
It muddy?
Very, well, it wasn't muddy because it's kind of sandy in Ensenada, which is nice.
Oh, that's... Yeah.
But there were these mud holes 2 feet from the house. I turned around and stepped right in one.
Oh, did you like sink?
Like up to my knee kind of
thing. Oh, my God.
So much for my boots. Yeah. So otherwise, everybody got a laugh out of that. So
I didn't realize that you actually went that far in. You go into Ensenada?
Ensenada, yeah.
OMG, that's like even further.
Oh, they do all over. It's about 60, 80 miles down, give or take.
Oh, I remember. I visited Ensenada when Jeff was there for, remember that whole year Jeff was gone
in
Ensenada, and I made the trip one time all by myself, call me stupid.
Now, I do need to make a comment that on our way out on Sunday, Ensenada had its annual marathon.
Oh.
That all the roads were blocked, and it took what should have been 10 minutes, an hour. And the biggest moment was this man who was 80, 85 years old, and I couldn't believe what I thought I saw, and that was behind him is a follow me car. As he's running his marathon, he's the last guy in the marathon. He's walking his marathon. And, of course, there's now 20 cars backed up and went out all that and thrilled about, wow, check that guy out.
Right? You know? Like a noise.
Oh, my God.
He's having his moment and you're having a moment.
I had a bucket, all right, but it wasn't that kind of bucket.
Yeah. So, oh, my God.
Anyway,
but
we finally got on the road.
That's kind of cool, 85 doing the marathon.
Oh, my gosh, this guy, unbelievable.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and he's walking his marathon, though.
That's,
wasn't running his marathon.
Yeah, that's all right.
I thought he'd be done by dark, maybe. So anyway, started at 8 o'clock, and we ran right into it. So,
oh, my goodness.
Anyway, very cool.
Well, hey, today we are actually beginning the first thing you have to have for any relationship. When I say any relationship, I mean it could be a friendship. It could be a parent-child relationship, sibling, romantic, and of course...
It could be a work relationship, even.
Exact, co-worker.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
A good one.
Yeah.
And then, of course, marriage.
Of course.
Of course.
Not to be left out.
Teacher, we cannot leave marriage out. It's where most of my, I'd say my biggest...
Learning of this gift.
Yes, learning has really, really come from relationships. So anyway, so we are going to talk about the very first thing that we need. It's kind of like if you could picture an onion. Of course, let's think of something prettier because an onion stinks. But let's just think of something that has layers. Okay, so we need the very first thing that we're going to peel off in all the things necessary is trust.
Mm-hmm.
So trust, this is actually kind of a deep subject, but whom we put our trust in determines our stability. But before we can actually trust other people, trust actually goes deeper than that. We have to actually learn to be able to trust ourselves. And so Steve is going to talk for a minute about that, but I think he had a really cool quote, right?
Well, there was a couple of them. One says, trust yourself. You know more than you think you do.
I love that.
But
then when he told me that, I asked him, but what happens if you're all messed up? Like, you know, you're a hot mess and you keep bouncing from one relationship to the next, or messing up one relationship and moving on to the next. Or...
Well, that goes with the next quote, and it's the more you trust your intuition. the more empowered you become, the stronger you become, and the happier you become. So let's unpack that a little bit.
Okay.
Well, let's frame it this way, that trust is based on consistency.
Right.
So if someone lies to you every day, you trust they will lie to you tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And in the initial stages of connecting, we want connection more than anything. We want relationship more than anything. And the sad part is that we blow by our intuition for the purpose or the cause of the connection. So if you trusted your intuition, you would know. I share with people that in my office, when I talk to people and speak into them, they already know the things I'm saying to them. Inside them, they know what they're doing. Inside them, they know they're kind of mean people. Inside them, they know that they're not very forgiving. But they can't, of course, admit that because they've had a need of pointing the finger at somebody else. But if you want to go backwards and unwind all the string that you got because of hurtful relationships, abuse, criticism, and control, and slow it down, you have to ask yourself what's honest. And, of course, trust yourself. I mean, to trust somebody else, if you said to them as you're dating, I have a woman who hasn't dated. She had a husband for 20 years. He died. She married him at 18. So now she's trying to figure it out, and so she met this guy, and the second time, he takes her to his house.
Oh, dear.
And at one point, his brother was in the house, and then he said, well, come in, and she thought her brother would be there, and then he wasn't there, and he was kind of physically expressive to her, and she said, okay, time out. I just need you to know, we're both Christian people, that any sex I have with a man will be after I put a ring on my finger.
No, she told him that.
She said that to him. And that was the last date.
Wow.
But she trusted something within herself that said, I'm worth that. And she also trusted her intuition, and the man admitted, which is a cool thing. The man admitted, says, I'm glad you told me that because I don't trust myself.
That was good. But it was the last date.
That was the last date. Now, if they could have come in and talked about that, I mean, that would have been the beginning. So if we can own and we think it's what's wrong with us, which is just us, it's just us. I'm the way I am. If kids could say that to their parents, you know, I'm really struggling in these areas, or a wife could say to her husband or husband to, you know, the wife, you know, I'm struggling with pornography. And so I need to trust myself that it's okay to do that.
Well, and I like the fact that she didn't, like, point fingers at him per se. She just really made it about her. Like that, you're okay wanting that, but I'm not, you know. And
we'd like to think the longer we live, we realize that the goal we thought was being accepted, and we thought the goal was connection, but it's really, can I accept me and be connected to God and let him open the door of my future choices? Because we would think, after a while, I'm not good at my own perception of things, but I would have to admit that.
Yeah, so it takes that's why it's really, truly the first step. It's like you have to learn to trust your intuition.
Yes, and then if you can, and people come in after a bad relationship, not to jump into another one, but spend some time asking themselves the question, how did I get in the previous one, and what would I want to avoid? What didn't I get right? And so those are trusting moments that you can admit to yourself. It takes a trusting relationship that you could confront one of your friends and tell them about themselves. But this little thing is about, can I tell myself about myself?
Right.
And trust that maybe all the people that said the things about me aren't so critical and rejecting as they are. Maybe they're just true.
So you're saying, because this is like really important, I just see so many people go from one relationship to the next, and I'm talking about a romantic relationship in need of that connection, overriding the, like what you said, I mean, it's like we just totally ignore the emotional dashboard, if you will, just because we feel like we have to have that connection, and really what we need to do is be connected with ourselves first.
Well, and you know, we have internet dating now in any number of forms, in a chat room. You know, that's not really internet dating, but wow, you sound pretty cool, so why don't we meet? You sound pretty cool in writing. You know, I don't know how that goes. But anyway, so you're on your first date, and of course, we both want to make a good impression. And so when we're asked, why did you break up with a previous relationship? What was the cause of that? And we're very quick to point the finger, kind
at
of.
Them.
We don't have to point exactly, but what the wisdom of the moment would be is, well, now that you've told me about the other person, Tell me how you contributed to the relationship's difficulty. What did you do? Because I can only change me.
Uh-huh.
And if that person isn't willing to disclose any, and if all of a sudden they're stumbling over their words, and it was cool when the woman said, you know, if it's about sex, we're not having that until marriage. And the man, instead of pushing back, he just said to her, well, I understand what you're thinking and feeling, and it's probably wise that we maybe make a break because I don't trust me to control myself.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So there was somebody that I was talking with. I just want to ask this just because I want to make sure that I actually didn't steer this person in the wrong direction.
Okay.
But, you know, it's a person who says, yes, I'm done, I can't do this anymore. And I reminded that person, stay in your car. That's okay that you feel that way. And that's good. But what I wanted this person to do was to actually go back to all his significant relationships and figure out where is it that it started derailing.
Right.
I actually didn't make it about what either one did incorrect,
sure,
so to speak. Where is it that you feel that it was getting off track? But a better, more probably assertive, more clear thing would be,
what was your
contribution? What is it that you contributed, in your opinion, to the failing and the demise of each of these relationships? Because the whole point is, don't jump in another car before you've parked the other one. You know what I mean?
Well, I think we have to come up with a standard of expectations. And, of course, not only do I have them for the person I'm with, but I have to have them for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the standards, one of the people that we're looking at the quote of, says, have enough courage to trust love one more time,
mm-hmm,
and then do it one more time. And so you need to practice at this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have your intuition, you confront something, maybe you should have listened to it, you didn't, and then you go and you talk about it with the person saying, you know what, I think I miscued, you know,
mm-hmm,
I think I misjudged. So it's okay to say that because I'm going to own my stuff.
Right.
You know, I thought when you said what you were going to do or not do that you meant what you said what you were going to do and not do.
Yeah.
And I'm a little confused about what those two look like because what I see is not the same as what you said, but I want to trust you one more time. And so can we start over in this area and see if you can maintain that? Now, depending on the approach, the person initially is going to have a little red on their face or feel a little embarrassed.
Yeah.
But I think if I can own my own contribution to my previous relationship, I can say to them, and I know how hard it is. I can understand that you don't get it right away. And I'm going to give you the benefits of all the doubt. If you can give me the benefits of all the doubt, as long as I can talk about it,
mm-hmm,
with you when it happens, and you can talk to me about it when it happens. And I think that's really all any of us wants.
Well, and let me give you another example, because I really want to address this on the air, again, in hopes of that I don't steer somebody wrong when they come to me and ask for an opinion. But you got a relationship, and they both push buttons, and it's kind of funny, because what pushes one button is exactly what pushes the other's button.
Sure.
And so I was kind of stepping back and kind of realizing that, but they keep doing the same thing, expecting a different result.
Sure.
And so it's, you know, I tried to share with each of them, you know, you need to just kind of step back and make it about what it is, you know, be integrous with yourself. What is it that is causing, because one person wants to make the, okay, then I can't trust this person with anything.
Right.
If I can't trust this person with this thing, then I can't trust them with anything. And is that really
accurate? If we go with all relational rules are never spoken, most
yeah.
relational rules are never spoken, and sadly, had you been able to speak, and I think it helps the person on the other end when you're asking them a question to give them a piece of your own learning.
Mm-hmm.
In an area
totally
of the struggle.
Yeah.
And even including, I know it's going to be tough when I ask you this question. I remember when somebody asked me this question or somebody asked me a question, it felt like or appeared to be accusational.
Right.
It appeared to be doubting. And that's why there has to be a practiced understanding, because there are 8 to 12 definitions per English word. And then if we add trust to that list, I don't know how many definitions of that would we have.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of saying, well, I want a trusting relationship, and the other person says, yeah, I do too. But we don't really define the terms by a process that, well, here's what I mean by trust.
Right.
that, for instance, when I bring up something that bothers me about you, I need you to just listen to that instead of defending that.
Right.
Or I need to trust you with myself. And so if I tell you something personal, I need you to just listen and not judge me. And so what are your terms of trust instead of assuming the universal beliefs of trust
in a
relationship?
There's another perpetual conflict that was going on, and I'm just super excited. My word for the year was meekness, and I was going on my run this morning thinking, oh, my gosh, I was thinking back to all the things the Lord has given to help me develop that power and control. And it's been through relationships. It totally has been through relationships. And I remember saying this to one person not too long ago that, you know, until you can trust that I have your very best interest at heart, this is never going to work.
Which I think would then follow with the question, therefore, in the future, can I be honest with you?
Mm-hmm.
Is our relationship trustable that when I share with you, it's not to be rejecting? It's not to think less of you. You see, it has no power of its own. If I'm lying, if that's a fact that I lie, then why defend it? So, but the defensiveness of the issue then adds a little more complication, because you're actually saying, even if it's true and it's provable about 5 times in 3 days, I don't want you to ask me about it. And when I'm asking you about it, I'm asking you about it because I have to know if I'm in a relationship with someone who lies.
Uh-huh.
And if you want to lie, that's really okay. I'm not really judging you. I'm judging my experience of those who lie.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't be with someone who does. And if you want to be in that kind of relationship, great. I can't be in one. So really, when we bring these things up, it sounds finger pointing, but it's really about the person asking the question.
Well, and I think the way we can sound least finger pointing, that was not good grammar, but you know what I'm saying, is to really make it about, you know, us and our experience, and like you said, learn to trust our tuition. You know, long time ago when you first started doing the workshop, you know, with us, and I mean, I'll never forget it. Everybody just loves this about what you say. You know, I'm okay. You're okay. I'm the one jacked up. Okay.
Right.
So you're okay, but you're okay going out drinking. You know, and people would get in an uproar like, it's not okay. Why would you tell me that? I could tell them it's okay that they go out drinking and getting drunk. And I said, because it's really about you.
Right.
Why you're not okay with that, and why it hurts your trust issues, and
it
hurts your ability to trust and affects your ability to trust. So the more we can make it about how we're experiencing it, right?
Yes.
The more we're trusting ourselves.
And it implies a conviction.
Yes.
Can you imagine a person who you're telling, I can point to you in 3 days, you've lied to me 5 times, and if you think that's going to be okay for you, great. I just need you to say yes. Trust that I'm going to lie. 3 times a day.
Yeah.
And then I'll say, well, great, and I'll let you go, and I'll be somewhere else, because you're not going to be happy with me, who is going to confront that every time you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to be happy every time you do it. So let's love each other enough. And back to the most relational rules I've ever spoken. When you go to get a job, what happens? You know, you show them a resume, they show you a job description, they tell you the hours you got to work, how much they're going to pay you, and what the benefits are. And then we sign the contract, because we know exactly what to expect-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Go to borrow money. I need to see 2 1040s. You need billions. I have billions. And I get to see how you've done that. Give me 2 bank statements so I can see who you are. So I'm trusting who you are, because I can see, you know, you can tell me all your day long, but if I see those facts, I'll know. And then when we go to sign the contract, you believe on the day of the signing that I'm going to hand you those billions. And I believe every 30 days you're going to pay it back. But in a relationship, we don't ever come up with, we don't say, oh, by the way, here are my values. What are yours? This is what I expect in a relationship. What do you expect? Here's what I think about these values and issues as it relates to when we get married, who cleans the toilet. What do you think?
See, but that doesn't ever come up like in the dating phase, if you will.
You don't talk about toilet cleaning on a date?
No,
come
heck
on.
No. Heck to the no. And
that's my favorite subject.
Right. But I think what's really curious from my own experience in this marriage is the more I learn about George, the more I'm able to trust him.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm good, you know, the whole thing with, you know, my husband being out of work 16 weeks now, but who's counting?
it's about 16.
Yeah, so, no, seriously, it's been a really good thing for me because, you know, I'm trusting me and going to the Lord. I'm not putting all my trust in my husband. And yet, I am able to say to him, because Steve gave me words quite some time ago, you know, I'm trusting that you are going to do the right thing. And when it boils down to it, I actually do know that he will pray, that he will try to do the right thing. He may screw it up, but that's also part of the trust, don't you think?
Yes.
Letting people make mistakes.
Absolutely.
I mean, God knows I've made zillions.
Which isn't about you.
No. So I have to honestly say that I'm learning to trust him more, and I'm getting like little peeks inside of his heart.
Well, the inverse of you trusting him more is letting go.
Yeah, like that's what it is, because
Because in this marital workshop I taught, there were three back-to-back practical thoughts about trust. And one is, of course, the first one was, am I safe with my mate? Can I trust my mate if I tell them something? And of course, we never think this, but is my mate safe with me?
Right.
I mean, it's all you, it's not me.
We need to reverse that, you're right.
But the bigger one that came to mind and why I thought of this is that am I safe with God? So while my mate is trying to learn by their mistakes, do I trust that God is in charge of this whole deal?
Yeah.
And I'm setting my mate free to learn while God is in control of the teaching part. And in the meantime, which is really tough, you know, is it may feel or all of a sudden we're under pressure, or my wife went to, I was in here Saturday, but we have a small group and we're talking about missions. And then they got onto the topic of, what about the gifts God has given us for people who have needs on a missional basis?
Mm-hmm, right.
And he talks about not to worry about anything in the future. Seek first the kingdom, and he'll give you the rest of it.
All these things will be added.
And so do we believe that as the flowers grow and how they look, that they don't worry at all about the water that comes and the sun, there'll be enough? And yet we believe, which again, as it says, no matter how much we worry, we can't add X. Can add another day to our life? Can add a cubit to our stature? Excuse me, but yet the question is about trusting. And I think the more I've learned to trust God and I'm free to trust he'll take care of me, I can let my mate or significant other be more free.
Yeah, and it totally, I have to say that definitely is the big link to that, you know, that definitely is the big link that, and then struggling through those mistakes, you know, just.
Well, how many mates, of course, it's a common thing now because marriages are so.
Disposable.
Frequent that a mate ends up saying to their mate who's accusing them, says, I'm not your dad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not your mom. So I know I did what looks like I was your dad, but I don't need the heat that you're giving me. I mean, it was like a 2 or a 3, and you're coming out like 8 to 10. So if you have an issue with what I just did, I won't mind answering that question, but you've kind of already decided that I'm just like your dad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an unfairness, and that's why ideally, if we've been in a bad relationship, including 6 months into my own marriage, I tell my wife I'm going to counseling. She goes, I'm not going. I said, I'm not going for you. I'm jacked up in my own head. I can see 18 years of what I ran away from happening right in front of my eyes. And so I need to learn to love you and to get rid of this stuff that I'm accusing you of. You don't know it's accusatory, but it comes out accusatory.
Mm-hmm.
Because it feels like you're my mom. It feels like you're trying to hurt me, control me. So it's that kind of thing. I need to not add another relationship to fix the previous one.
Yeah, and it's of how do we get people to understand that and quit perpetuating that cycle. It basically comes down to being willing to look at our stuff. I mean, that's really, truly like the first step, being able to just look at stuff so that you can learn to trust your intuition and trust yourself.
Well, I will guarantee you that anybody who follows half of what I've said today
mm-hmm.
will not appear to replicate any previous relationship.
Right.
When we're going to talk about what we're going to talk about, and we're going to talk about how we're going to talk about it, and we're going to talk about what we're going to do when we don't like what's going to happen. But that whole talk about it thing is the most missing piece. We just think it's all supposed to just happen. It'll just be love, whatever that even looks like. Versus, no, we're going to own our stuff. We're going to be honest with each other. And even that, we need to define. Are you going to be honest with me? Can you imagine asking the person you're going to marry now? I need to make sure. Are you going to be honest with me?
Yeah, right.
And you expect your mate to say, well, actually, no.
But isn't part of the problem, isn't part of the problem that truth isn't always unveiled the same?
Mm.
Right? You know what I'm saying? Like, truth is different for people. And I don't want to, like, throw a monkey wrench in here, but I really have
learned. Let's leave him with this note.
Yeah, let's leave
but
him with
what?
This note. No, we still have 4 minutes.
Oh, four minutes,
we still
okay.
have 4 minutes.
We'll
so we're
patch
gonna,
it before
explode,
when we break it.
Well, because the Hebrew thing, the Hebrew translation for truth is unveiled reality.
Ah.
So the unveiled reality tells me
right.
that what has been unveiled for me may not have been unveiled for the one I married.
Right.
Okay? So people
So you're going to help God.
No, I learned my truth, but it's freed me.
Sure.
That understanding of truth has freed me to let, for instance, my husband figure it out between him and God at his pace, not mine.
Right.
Okay, so
yes.
Because everybody does get truth.
It's God's work, not yours.
Right, but everybody gets their truth at different levels. I mean,
sure.
people
Time.
Stand before you and will say something that they really truly believe is true.
Right.
But subconsciously may not be true. And that's a deeper work.
Sure.
I'm not trying to throw in a monkey wrench, but...
Well, that also brings up an issue of trusting, again, your own intuition, trusting yourself. Because someone points it out doesn't make it true. Because that's how they feel about... And I think those are the harder and deeper moments in my own 36 or 7-year marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Is when my wife says something, and it might have been an inquiry, but it was very accusatory. And very judgmental towards me.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of debating or arguing that, and here's our Savior who had a chance at his last moment in front of Pilate, who tells Jesus, I have all power and authority over you.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says, nobody takes my life. I'm going to give it
right.
to you. And instead of feeling the need, when in his heart he knew all truth, had no need, nor did he defend what he was doing. He had a chance to speak, and that's when Pilate said, do you know who I am? And I'm asking you questions, and you're not answering me back. And so cool, because Jesus, before his dad, knew what the truth was.
Hmm.
And I think many times, while my mate is growing in their own truth and understanding
right.
as God only can reveal things to us sometimes, that I have to be able to stand, while I know what they've said isn't true, feeling very hurt by what they thought was true, and deciding how to love them.
Despite that.
Yes, how do I choose not to let them decide
yeah.
how I'm going to love them? Jesus decided to come down here not letting us choose how he's going to feel towards us. He decided, I'm going to, in spite of what I know I trust, which is that they'll sin, but I'm still going to love them because that is what my Heavenly Father, my dad, wants me to do. And how do I love people into that truth so I can trust? But they have to see it, and that is the hardest piece of patience.
To sit and struggle through. It really
yes.
is. And so basically what you're saying is when you believe that someone is not being true but they insist that they are, you
right.
just need to like trust in your Heavenly Father that God will reveal to them at the appropriate time
yes.
and love them through what appears to be a lie to you, correct?
Well, or what appears to be the truth to them.
Right.
It is a lie to me.
Right.
But that's what they believe at that moment.
Yeah. So.
And, of course, the more we try to defend, the more we help prove to them what they believe already.
Right. So the more defensive we become, the
yes.
bigger the issue that it becomes. And so this is where it's a very slippery slope. I don't want to confuse this trust issue with enabling, but we are going to leave off there, and we will pick up with that when we join you on the air 2 weeks from today. Next week is Memorial Day weekend. Have yourself a fabulous, safe, and memorable.
She's a writer.
Weekend.
She uses Google a lot.
Yeah, right? Anyway, thanks so much for joining us, and tell your friends all about relationships. Talk to you in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Just hang on. How old are you going to be trusting?
Thank you.
Yeah.